It's a pleasure to be with you all. I'm Jay's dad, and I'm glad he's not here to critique this. But we do have with us our three granddaughters, my wife Ann, there, and do be sure and greet Jane. Today is her 15th birthday. There's an overarching question I want us to ponder this morning. It's one for every morning, not just this. And that is, what is the Lord saying? I don't think there's a more important question for us. Some years ago, in a Middle Eastern country, a man and his wife were traveling to another town at some distance from where they lived. This couple had moved to this country in order to work and serve the people, but they had a primary yet secret aim, and that was to share the truth about Jesus Christ. And every day they had agreed together that each of them would look for 5 opportunities to share something of the Lord with those that they encountered. Well, on this day as they were traveling, they had to stop and get some gas and some water to drink. And so they got that and they were headed out. And the wife turned to her husband and said, "I think you should give a gospel portion to that man standing next to the door of the shop." To which her husband said, "I don't think so." He said, "Did you see him?" And he was a large man. He was carrying an AK-47. He had bullet belts across his chest, and he looked rough, dusty, and of a tough demeanor. His wife said, "Yes, I saw him. I still think you should give him a gospel." She then added the helpful comment, "I know you haven't done your 5 things yet today." Yeah. To this, the good, godly, spirit-filled husband expressed a few words of anger. They drove on for a bit in silence. The wife finally ventured another plea. "I can't shake the sense that we should give him one of these gospels." The good, godly, spirit-filled husband slammed on the brakes, slid the car to a stop in a cloud of dust. And shall we say, a lively discussion took place. It concluded with this good, godly, spirit-filled husband shouting, "All right, if you want me to die, I'll die." With that, he turned the car about, headed back to the store, got out, closed the door with a little slam, and went up to the man, shoved the gospel booklet into his hands and said, "I think this is something you might be interested in," and turned on his heel, headed back to the car a little bit quickly, listening behind him for the sound of the bolt being thrown on his rifle. But instead, what he heard was a thud. He turned back around and saw this man had fallen to his knees, weeping. He went back to him and said, "Are you okay?" He said, "3 days ago, I had a vision. A man appeared to me, and he said to me, 'Go to this store and wait. Someone will give you the words of life.'" There are 2 reasons for this story. One is to remind us that God works through imperfect people, right? Or as a friend of mine often says, God's kingdom is built with broken tools. It's all he has to work with. The second reason for the story is really drawn from our parable this morning of the sower of seeds. If you do morning prayer, I pray you do. The psalm most often read is Psalm 95. There's a little section that has words, I think, unfortunately, that say you don't have to say these except in Lent. But that section begins, "Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts." Receiving the word of God is not a one-time thing. It's a daily thing. God is a God who speaks, who leads his sheep. He calls to them. He speaks to them. If we've opened our hearts to the living Christ and he dwells within us, He comes into our lives not as a dormant seed, but as a vibrant, alive, kingdom-advancing seed. As Paul said, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The living Christ is speaking to us all the time. He wants to direct our attention, to lead us, to reassure us, to prod us as he did the wife, because he has chosen us as his ambassadors. That means we are those who speak on behalf of the king. I find myself, I don't know about you, hardening my heart at times, especially those inconvenient times. My heart is hardened by fear of what someone might think, or like in the husband's case, fear that I might die. I have to remember that the one who lives in me gave up his life that I might live. I also am hardened at times by pride, particularly pride in my intellect, because I can't figure out if this is a good idea or not. It's often said that the Lord doesn't share his whole will with us because we'd be deciding whether we think it's a good idea or not. I love the story in Acts chapter 8, Philip. It says that an angel of the Lord speaks to him and tells him, go up toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. And in parentheses, it tells us it's a wilderness road. That's it. Wouldn't you have asked, and then what? I would have. You know, is that it? But he just gives him that much. And he goes. You know the rest of the story. He sees a chariot going by, and it says that the Spirit speaks to him and says, go over to the chariot and join it. That's all he says. He goes up, here's the man reading from Isaiah, and simply says, do you understand what you're reading? He says, no, in short. And he invites him up in the chariot, and he explains. And I love the line that it says he preaches Jesus to him. It's not long before they come across water, and he wants to be baptized. He's baptized. He rejoices. Philip disappears. What Philip could not have known was that that seed implanted that day in that one soul would be the first entrance of the gospel to the whole continent of Africa. When this story is told among Sudanese students, which were at that time would have been called Ethiopia, you can feel the rustle in the group, because this was the gospel coming to them. Dear ones, the truth is, people are carrying stuff, sometimes heavy and sometimes crushing. The one who said earlier in Matthew, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, is the one who speaks to you and through you to those who are carrying heavy stuff. Heard the story of a young woman in the UK. She was in a town. She had finished what she was doing there. It started to rain heavily, and she hurried and got back in her car, sat down. And she had this sense from the Lord that the Lord wanted her to go back. She had just sought shelter in her car. He's saying, go back. But it seemed insistent. So she just obeyed, didn't know more than that. Went back, and on the way she's thinking, where? And then what? And in her mind came the picture of an alleyway she knew well, along which there were shops and restaurants. And she made her way there in the rain, and there sitting outside was a man being drenched by the rain. And she went up to him and said, are you okay? And she said, can I get you something to eat? He said, that'd be nice. And so she got him something and came back. And he asked her, why did you come? She said, I think God told me to come back. He nodded. He said, well, I was on my way to end my life. Thank you for coming. I know that God hears me and sees me. Are you faced with problems you can't figure out? Third, last story. A DC policeman, who is a Christian, was learning to listen to God even as he worked as a policeman, trying to work through that difficult kind of job. And one of the calls that he was on was to an apartment complex he and his partners knew well. It was a heavily drug trafficked place. It was an Asian, mostly Asian community that lived there. It was a bad place. And he knew who the chief drug dealer was. They knew each other. They had met many times. And he was leaving the scene, and he just thought, Lord, isn't there something to stop this from going round and round, the same thing over and over? You get arrested, go in jail, come back, do the same thing over. So what can I do? A little whisper came into his mind, invite him to dinner. That's a real crime stopper for you. And so he just said, I'm going to do it. And so at another time came back and met the man and said, look, I'm not here as a policeman, I'm just here as a person, and I wanted to invite you to come to our house, spend the weekend, let us feed you dinner, and it'd be just good to get to know you better. And he says, well, I've never taken the invitation of a police officer. He said, well, I've never invited a drug lord to come to my house. He said, well, let's explore this together. And so they went. And they did that. They just ate food. They talked together. And sometime in the weekend, of course, he and his wife were praying like crazy the Lord would take hold of this guy. Sometime in the weekend, he said to him, you are obviously a gifted leader. You have men that follow you and do exactly what you say. You have a great, strong organization. It's difficult to, you know, interrupt what you're doing. Have you ever thought about doing something that didn't have the risk of going to jail in it? He said, I'm afraid to do that. To which the police officer says, you don't need to be afraid. He said, you need God. You need God to help you. Learn to do what you cannot do unless he helps you. Long story short, the man came to Christ, and he began a legitimate business, and he got numerous of his lieutenants involved in the business, and it was a great business, and they were doing really well. But it didn't stop there. He began going back to his community, and with the money he was earning in his business, he began rebuilding what he had once destroyed. My friends, what is God saying? What is he saying? In a way, it's simple. Ask him, what do you want me to know? What do you want me to do? And then do that. It might not make sense. Just do it. That's the seed. That's the life of Christ. You see, what we're doing here is not an intellectual exercise. It is an exercise, however, in walking with the one who loves us and following him where he leads. Let's bow and invite you to pray in your hearts this prayer that is good to pray. It's done by a young man one night when he heard his name being called. Oh, Father, with the young Samuel, we pray this morning, would you speak? Your servants are listening. Amen.